Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we were just singing a while ago a spiritual psalm. We exalt Thee, Lord, and yet we know that though that is true, that we are called upon to exalt Thee, and according to Your word, Lord, Your name is the name in which the Gentiles trust at this particular time, knowing it has been revealed to us, knowing also, Lord, that You said that You exalt Your word above Your name. How much more then, Lord, should we as a people here truly come into a place of perfect worship with You, knowing Your great name having been revealed unto us, and Your word which have exalted above Your name, bringing us, Lord, into that position which is not only required of You, demanded of You, but we ourselves so desire to be a part of it. Help us, therefore, this morning, Lord, that this rich word that has been given to us, vindicated by a true healing ministry, shall be ours in a perfect knowledge or as much perfection as can be garnered this time, Lord, with Your goodness manifested to us, that we might be rich in it, grow in it, and the life of that same word permeate our lives and come through us as living epistles read and known of all men. But also, Lord, we're looking forward to the time of immortality, which we know is granted to us. So help us this morning, we plead. We'll give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're at number 13 in God of this Evil Age. And at this particular time, we have still some pages that are very redolent with some of the great things that Brother Branham said that have not been repeated as much as other things, although he has spoken of them on different occasions. So we have to take it a little slowly yet, and then a little later we can read much more rapidly. Now on pages 25 and 6, which we were looking at last night, Brother Branham has brought to our attention that the Antichrist deception started in Eden, where Eve, in the presence of the tree of life, with the words ultimate human fulfillment, which was with that tree, within her grasp, which was immortality, left the word of God, and consequently God by leaving the word. Now, if you caught what I said immediately, you understand that Alpha is Omega. So therefore, at this end time, as according to Revelation 22 in verse 10, the opening of the seals, proceeding to verse 14, where immortality is granted because the tree of life is available, you will have therefore the tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You will have God and Satan in combat in the minds of the people, and what their minds take will decide whose side you're on and what your destiny is. Simple? Too simple. Uncomplicated? Too uncomplicated. Forget it. I never said a thing. If the dinner's ready, we'll serve it. You understand what I'm saying? Antichrist deception started in Eden, where Eve, in the presence of the tree of life, Christ the Word, and the Word's fulfillment within her grasp, left the Word, consequently left God. She took her place, not meaning to, but she took her place in the human race, bringing in Adam, so that the human race went into entire bondage, and every son of God tasted death. We're at the same place today. It cannot be denied. Revelation and Genesis are identical in the sense that everything starts in Genesis and comes to full harvest in Revelation. In other words, if a seed of wheat was planted in Genesis, a whole bumper crop will come in Revelation. Or whatever is in the seed will come forth to full maturity, full manifestation, regardless of quantity. You notice in a dry year, grapes are not as numerous, but they are far better in quality. Which quality makes wine? And wine is spoken of much in the Scripture. It's even used in the sacrament. Now, Brother Branham called this start in the Garden of Eden, which finishes in Revelation 22. He called this start of an educational program headed by Satan, wherein the world will be dominated by a scientific program. Started right there in Eden. In other words, everything you see here is maximized to the extent that a fully dominated religion of science is set before us as our desire, the desire of the world. Now let's look at this according to the Bible, because it's seen both in Genesis and Revelation. Number one, notice God's educational program by the Spirit dealing in Revelation with Adam and consequently with Eve. Now let's see God's program. Genesis 2 and 18. Now, he already said, don't touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So Adam at that time was not touching any of it, and indeed he could not, because he was protected from it. Now, notice 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. In other words, I will make somebody just like him, of his own species, of his own kind. Because, you see, he didn't have anybody to reproduce himself the way the animals had. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and all the fowl of the air, every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. Now what we see here is God's educational program, which was to keep the people on earth, which is one Adam at that particular time, but in him lay the seed in order to bring forth the entire race of God that God wanted as sons and daughters. And you'll notice how he made him thoroughly conversant by his Spirit, anointed by the Holy Ghost, to deal specifically in nature according to the environment and according to what lay within each one. So it wasn't just a matter of naming the animals and the birds and the bees and all those things. It was a matter of the Holy Spirit, the knowledge that he gave, would keep everybody and everything in perfect balance in nature. And there wasn't going to be a great industrialized world. It was going to be a farm situation. Because out of the dust the people came, and out of the dust they would be nourished. And you will notice also in the New Jerusalem, which is strange to say, though the bodies are glorified, it is going to be the same thing in a stepped up level. So this is God's education. But what is the devil's education? Well, he's entirely different. So his educational program starts in Genesis 3, 1 to 7. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which God had made. That clues you in right there. Here is the subtlety of the animal kingdom to which we are related, like it or not, believe it or not. We are mammalian. Certainly we are. Okay. So the serpent is a very cunning individual. And now he is motivated by Satan. So here we're going to have the brains of nature, or another power of mentality, guided by the devil. It's already sitting there, available to Satan. So he takes the beast in tow, and the beast, being an intelligent being, as Dr. Adam Clark said, between a chimpanzee and a man, although that was, he hit it pretty good, but it wasn't true. This is way above a chimpanzee. I don't care how much you test them and how smart you think the dolphins are, and is there this, is there that, come on. this thing here was so close to a human being. Actually, he was a better man than Adam when it comes down to the beast qualities. Let's, come on, just face it. So he came and he said, "Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Now, the education he's starting here is to question the Word of God in contradistinction to nature. Now, in the very book of Genesis, God saw the intent of man's heart was evil continually, and he destroyed the earth, so God destroyed him. And you've got the same thing at the end time in the book of Revelation. God will destroy those that destroy the earth. Now, what have they done today? They have unleashed an atomic power that they can't stop. Now, where has the devil got the people? Mass murder. Mass suicide. Our legislators have done it. We have done it. We have elected them. And we stand back like a bunch of stupid idiots and let them do what they want. Not one person has the power to raise up a third party in America and throw those bums out. No. It's going to take God with his wrath and the atomic bomb. We're going to be out of here.
Amen.
See where education started? Hath God said. What was God's education? Bring on the animals, bring on the birds, bring on the insects, bring it all on. And I will show you how you rule and reign over them in a perfect harmony by the Holy Ghost. The devil comes along, he said, "Hey, cool it. That's stupid. Yea, hath God said." Are you going to listen to that junk? Listen to me. I'm a created being, formed out of the ground now. I've got a superior knowledge. Didn't he say take it over and run it? Let's do it. You got death. Because the serpent seed runs the rule. Now you can say what you want, but the serpent seed runs the whole world. Now, the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree of the garden which is midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, or not touch it, lest you die." Now God said, you keep out of a certain realm. You don't have my permission within this realm. And so therefore it's going to bring nothing but folly and death. It's going to fall down upon you. The castle you erect, the underpinnings will go like the temple that God allowed Samson's arms to encircle and pull the whole thing down. There went the temple of Baal, and there's going to go the temple of Baal again called Babylon, which is a Roman Empire, Papal Roman, with the daughters. And she's taught the old prostitute a whole lot of tricks the old girl didn't know. So don't think we're going to hit the Catholics. It's the whole system. And we'll talk about it if we get time. Now, the serpent said, "You'll not surely die." No. He said, no. He came in with his superior knowledge, which wasn't. "For the Lord God doth know in the days each of your eyes are open, and you'll be as God's knowing good, and you will know evil." And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it wasn't because of the killer, pleasant of the eyes, she desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit, did eat, gave her husband also. All right, that was the first lesson in sex. What's the last lesson in sex? Go ahead. Any way you want. Hey, enjoy. Says Dr. Ruth Heimer. I never heard her. What's her name? Not Ruth Heimer. Ruth. What's her? Some kind of Heimer out there in L.A. I read in the paper, so. Have fun. Teach your kids in school. Go ahead. Eight. Rot in your feet. Science. Safe sex. Mm-hmm. All the children of Mrs. Mary Calderon To my knowledge, she never ran a house of prostitution. And she didn't sell herself to men. She did worse. She sold the others, little kids, everybody else. The government wonders if we tell our young people about life. We tell them here like the government wouldn't do because they're in it with the devil. And they belong to the devil. And they'll give billions and billions of dollars for their safe sex program, which it ain't safe. There's your education. Now, there's nothing wrong with sex and nothing wrong with nature. It's what people do with it. Too late they found they were naked. Too late they tried to find a remedy. The fat was in the fire. 1,000 shall fall at thy left hand and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee when you make God your refuge. And God is in His Word. Catholic celibacy of priests. Hogwash. I spit on their rotten hypocrisy. The popes, their clergy priests have confessed their intimacy. At least 1/3 involved with women, if not 2/3. Their priests getting AIDS and everything else. At least the Protestants had the guts to bring it out into light. Well, the Catholics still think they can hide it. Ha! What about the black archbishop down in Atlanta? He had his girlfriend. I admit she's beautiful. Satan makes them pretty. Come on, smarten up. Take it to your heaven with you. I'll tell you something. This message, whether you believe it or not, is preparing you for the millennium. You don't think so. You got an idea about, hey, a little interim something. The opening of the seals goes plumb into eternity. Time and eternity mingling. And this Exodus is no different in principle than under Moses. And I can just see in New Jerusalem the crowds of the millions or billions out there that aren't the bride. They're going to stand back like God said they'd stand back in Palestine and say, hey, I'm going to tell you, what a people is that people who have God for their God and such a word. You're nearer home than you think, kid. You're nearer home than you think. All right, number 3. Next, notice Satan's Eden, or the ultimate of Satan's tutoring man in a worldwide political church system. Now, let's see where he's going. He took it over there. And if you think Brother Branham isn't true, then let's read with understanding once more. Revelation 18:9 to about 18. The kings of the earth have committed fornication and lived deliciously with Babylon, the old harlot, the Rome. World Church of the Church, World Council of Churches, and shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off from the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. I believe that's when Russia launches the atomic bomb and watch the old thing go higher than a kite. You talk about a Roman candle. They stand back in fear and they say, alas, 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 Babylon. Hollywood had a picture called that by this guy named Stone. He was in it. That was the days when Hollywood was much cleaner. There was no filth in it. The world system coming down, alas, Babylon. The merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. No man buyeth their merchandise anymore. And the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all time wood and all manner of vessels of ivory, and vessels of precious wood, and brass, and marble, and iron, and cinnamon, odors, ointments, frankincense, you name it, it's all here. Even the souls of men. It's in her. Just what it says in Revelation 13, no man's got power to buy and sell outside the system. And they're very nice about it. They say, well, hey, look. Hey, we don't want you to starve. We don't want you to die. That's what the devil said. Hey, come on, we don't want you to die. Honey, you ain't going to die. Am I telling you the truth? Is Genesis Revelation? Or isn't it? You better believe a prophet, not leave ill. Now, but see God's leading in the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Watch his education. And he said to me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Hey, harvest, wheat and chaff, just and unjust, holy, unholy, righteous, unrighteous, filthy, filthy, or not filthy. I'm coming quickly. Right after the time of separation by the word comes the time we meet the Logos himself manifested in flesh at the wedding supper. Now he said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And according to your works, you'll get a reward. Now that absolutely is 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, when he comes as the judge to bring judgment upon the wicked and be glorified in the saints. That's that time when we are at rest and are going into immortality. Now watch. Blessed are they that wash their robes. Strike out that foolish thing in there that says, do his commandments. Although that has a modicum of truth, it is not that. That they may have the right to the tree of life and from immortality, the free ticket to New Jerusalem. The rest bring their glory in. Now that is God's education. And that is the ultimate for us. See? What is it? Revelation 22. I beg your pardon, I think it's Revelation 20 to 21. And 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the great city, holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Look at the first verse. I saw a new heaven, new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God in heaven, prepared as a bride adorned her husband. You notice something in there? This is a new heaven and a new earth, and that city, by the way, is the product of the new. Brother Branham categorically said, and I'll throw it in here now and later, that there's no such thing as a true healing revival unless there is a new message, because God does not come down and do something to bolster up a dead, old, tired message as it run its course. How are you going to get there? You're going to get there by the opening of the seals based upon a vindication. God doesn't change his ways. Never has and never will. Now listen, all right. As Brother Branham brings this to us, this thought to us, he emphasizes, emphatically states, that at the time of the end, both the Son of Man and the Son of Perdition will again exist side by side. It's exactly true. Both are ministries. See? And both those ministries are recognized from the fact that Jesus sent out Judas to raise the dead, heal the sick, and cure all manner of diseases. And yet Judas was the son of perdition to become literally the man of sin and iniquity as Satan came into him. And as Satan came into him, God went out of Jesus. So you got a last day prophet who stood before us, the pillar of fire in him that left him but didn't go away, stayed right here to take us to the millennium. See? All right. This is that new Jerusalem. This is what God has for you and me. At the time of these two ministries, there must be the Son of Man and there must be the Son of Perdition. Now Jesus, in the form of the Holy Spirit, returns to Elijah the prophet and reveals the gospel of Paul by vindication. Because Paul said in this day, he said back there that day, which is this day, you're going to have to believe his testimony. And what was his testimony? I was struck down by the pillar of fire. I was taken out there to a desert in Arabia. And in that time, God himself came and was my mentor. And I came and checked with all the other guys who were at Pentecost. And they had to admit that I was right. And when I withstood them, I was more than right because they were to blame. I stood there for the Gentile church. Well, you got the same thing today, brother, sister. You got that same ministry vindicated coming to Brother Branham, who could stand there before the curtain of time, behind the curtain of time, proving his vision was 100% of God, or his visitation at that place was 100% of God, because the angel said, well, you're a born leader. These people are waiting on you, trusting you. Well, he said, I preached what Paul preached. They said, we're resting on that. And that's 100% the word of God. And that referred to Brother Branham's time, not to somebody else's. Now, but in spite of the evidence of vindication that God is taking headship of his bride, and her return to chastity is by the word renewing her mind to the very truth that Paul brought, the church refuses to believe this and falls into Hebrews 6, 1-8. And that's where the Branhamites are. Therefore, leaving the principles of doctrine of Christ. That's the basics. See? Of Christ, let us go on to perfection, that's maturity and conclusion, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith toward God. Now, this is the doctrine of the doctrines of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of dead, eternal judgment. This will do if God permit. Now, it tells you we're going to go from beyond that. Now, what can you go from the doctrines of Christ which were taught to one place only? It tells you in Ephesians, the Holy Ghost came back through the prophet Paul, anointed a fivefold ministry to bring us completely to the head. So therefore, when the word is finished, what have you got? Christ. There it is, and there it is.
Amen.
Now you can't settle just for the spoken word. It's got to be rhema logos. And that's what we're settling for. And that's what these people who deny what we teach are not settling for. They have made it simply a rhema. You can't do it. There's no such thing as a rhema by itself. It's a rhema logos. Absolutely. All right, this will do. God permit, God didn't permit. Now watch, for it's impossible for those who were once for all enlightened. Now remember, Paul in the 5th chapter has said here, I would give you the mysteries of Melchizedek, but you can't take it because you're the babies, regardless of your tremendous and wonderful, perfect revelation I have given you. You are still babies in the bride of Christ. The end time people are the mature ones. Now you look at yourself and you're saying, well, I buy the veil. That's a little bit too much of me. Well, drop dead. You don't believe the word of God. I'm going to be honest. I don't either. I don't begin to believe as I should believe. He said right here, strong meat believes to them that are full age. The full age is Ephesians chapter 4. When by the word which is poured measure upon measure, which measures the Holy Ghost into the church until the full measure is there, there isn't any more. That's the only time you'll understand Melchizedek. Who is he? I remember when I heard Brother Branham preach that, you might not be honest to me. That's your business and your tough luck. I'm before the white throne, and I'm honest with you. I thought, Brother Branham, what are you preaching this for? This sounds kind of like you're running out of steam. Now you got to preach any old thing. Boy, did I take a licking on that one. Talk about who's stupid. This guy. Stupid. It's okay, you're just as stupid. I'm not preaching a bunch of smart guys. Get the truth. It once for all enlightenment, because there isn't any more. Brother Branham said, what we had under those 7 open seals would put us in a rapture, whether he came back or not. But he knew he'd come back.
Because he brought us the word that's going to put us in a rapture, and we can't get there till he comes back. So he brought the word that raises the dead. Not William Branham. The one who stands here to raise the dead. The one in the pillar of fire that takes the millennium. Now, even tasted the heavenly gift, partake of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. We are already into the dunamis of the millennium. I can't believe that. Then you don't believe that he stood right there and could have taken the tree of life and been immortal. Do what you want. You say, Brother Bailey, you're twisting the word. I'm having a good time doing it. You do what you want. Amen. Having fallen away, it's impossible to renew them again to repent because there's no place to change your mind. This is the last time. Eve changed her mind. The bride under Paul changed her mind. This bride will not change her mind because she's got no place to go. You tell me you've got some time to change your mind and you've got something to think of. That's what these other birds that don't believe their presence. Oh, it's a doctrine. So they go to bed with their wife's picture. I make things pretty raunchy up here and I do it on purpose. Because they need to be treated raunchily. I cannot treat them as though they're my brothers, because Brother Branham said the one's your brother is the one that believes that word right down the line. And how much fellowship? He said you can't have fellowship. No man who believes all the word can have fellowship with those who believe part of the word. Brother Branham was left standing by himself, just like Jesus, like every other prophet. Until the sheep could hear the voice and follow sweet Jesus with his lovely word. Yes, taste the power of the world to come. No way to get him back. Because they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put an open shame. That is Matthew 12, where they crucify him who does not stand in the street, who does not strive, who does not lift his voice, who brings judgment and victory to the Gentiles, standing at the door knocking. They say, out of the way, my boy, out of the way. Yeah, you're just a doctrine. They hate my guts out there, and I don't have much respect for theirs. The fight's on. I shall go to hell or heaven with bells on, I hope. Well, the high priest had them, pomegranates and bells, doing, doing, doing. Bet you know he's in the land of the living. And preachers are scared because of their congregations. I'm not, because you ain't my congregation no more. You're Joe White, you voted him in. You made a bargain with me to sit here and listen. If you don't like it, you go someplace else. I got this pulpit under the conditions, was laid down in what we agreed upon, a legal instrument. You're not hurt by my saying that. You're tough just like hanging, you're tough. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that come off upon it, and we're God's husbandry, we're God's earth, and bringeth forth earth meat for them by whom it's dressed, receive blessings from the Lord. So therefore, the former rain comes at the time of the latter rain, in the midst of the power, the teaching ministry comes forth, and the people will drink it in and listen. It will fall upon everybody within range and sound. And those who turn it down will bring forth briars to be burnt. You know what briars are? It was a seed buried there in the earth that was to be a curse. And going away from the word of God brought them. So therefore, leaving the last message vindicated unto the prophet William Branham, is going to bring forth an earth full of briars and tares. And tares ain't half bad. It's the briars. They rip and tear. And they will murder the foolish virgin that's left. And God will burn them with fire unquenchable. The white throne, therefore, is only a formality to the people at the end. To the others, it might not be quite so. The church refuses to believe in the baptism with the Holy Ghost, said Brother Branham, and except a few charismatics deny the power the truth, rather, of divine healing. This great age of the Son of Man is denied, that is the Son of Man days, and speaks of the power as for other days, with no thought of the return ministry of Christ upon this earth. Let me read you something. Luke 10. The question came up in Luke 10 about the disciples were casting out devils, and Jesus said, I beheld Satan falling from heaven as lightning. Now listen, that was immediately after Jesus gave the disciples power against unclean spirits and went out casting out devils two by two. And he said, go not to the Gentiles, rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and heal the sick and cast out devils. They came back rejoicing and happy. And he said, rejoice not because devils are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now that's what the book of redemption did for you and me when it came down here on earth. And we saw our names by virtue of the fact that we were part of that word. And he said, I beheld Satan falling from heaven as lightning. See, the power of that church moving forward. It just upset the whole kingdom of Satan. And he saw him as he dropped from heaven, cast him plumb out of the holy places and everything by the power of that church. For he said unto them, I give you power over unclean spirits. And that really upset the kingdom of Satan. What can we do with it today? They don't believe that. They think actually that is going to be over there in Revelation chapter 12. Those truths are the fulfillment there. Satan made war with Michael and Michael cast him down. But they do not understand the truth of this. Now let me tell you something. I'm reading this from the bottom of page 26, so you'll notice it. Now, instead of keeping divine healing going, when she ought to be now raising the dead and doing great miracles, now the church didn't do it. But Brother Branham came on the scene and did it. And he said, if my hand does it, he said, my body does it. So therefore, William Branham epitomized and stood for the bride, and when he did it, the bride did it. That's right. Now, he said, ought to be raised the dead. Great miracle. She's let Satan, under his leadership, a religious man, take the word of God and try to say that was for another age and she believed it. What is he talking about? The ministry of the Son of Man. They can't place it as of this hour, of the time of Sodom, Gomorrah, and the time of Noah. They don't want to place it. No, they would sooner have their own understanding, which they have, and now they will not believe in Noah, where 8 souls are saved, millions now living will never die. Whose words are those? Satan's. Thou shalt not surely die. Oh, no. Lord, you're of a purer mind than to allow this to happen. Oh, no, 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 no. God wouldn't do that. No, 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 no. No, this business of sacrificing blood for sin. No, 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 no. That gives you complexes. As though you're sinners. You're not sinners. Oh, no, no. You're children of God. Hallelujah. Where's Greg? He knows how pig smells. He's a pig farmer. Ask him what he thinks of that statement theologians make. His pig barn smells sweeter. They're healthier and better for you. At least they'll keep your vegetables living. And you can eat the vegetables and live. But you eat this mixed tree, you're dead. The church refused. The people refused to believe the power of God is in our midst, where Satan's kingdom is falling right now, even though it is growing. Let me prove it to you. The leveraged buyouts are destroying all the great corporations. They have bought and expanded beyond feasibility. And in doing it, they have deprived people of millions of jobs, joining land to land and house to house, and depriving the labor of their rights. And it's crumbled, it's crippled, it's worm-eaten. I don't care how big it looks and how much the government pumps in money and does this and that. It's finished. Satan's kingdom is gone.
And he's pulling a bluff.
They try to say that's another age, it's this age. When the saints go marching in, oh, they've sung it for years and looked down the road. I'm going to tell you, these saints is going marching in. Last time I heard that song, some was really funny. I was up there in Chicago at the Voice of Healing Convention. Oral Roberts was there and all these guys, and they were going to charge for this fancy meal they had. And I said, ha, you think I'm going to pay $7 for a stupid meal? I can go down the corner and eat for $3.50. I went down the corner and ate for my $3.50, and I got back. It was dessert time, and they had the lights all turned, the waiters with these flaming desserts, and they're flaming, you know, the 40 gigs up here all kind. And they're saying, when the saints come marching in, I said, oh, brother. Even then, I was quite sure that I didn't want to march with them. I was quite sure they were going where I didn't expect to go. And I hadn't come to the place of this message. I got nothing against the people. I don't want them any ill harm. I wish they were there in the lake of fire someplace. Brother, sister, that's not the point. The point is either there is truth or is there is not truth. It's the truth. Either it is or it isn't. And that's the thing that counts. And you cannot sit on the fence and you cannot wishy-washy, because the thing is you are then with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it won't work. Now let's keep reading. My brother, now here, notice on page 113, brother, page 27, 613 paragraph. Brother Branham, he says in that paragraph, he indicts the church for not receiving John 14:12 as a reference to Luke 17:26-30. And John 14:12 is the greater works. Then he immediately says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now he said, we're still creatures. Preach what gospel? Paul's that Brother Branham brought back to life. And there are people saying there's no fivefold ministry. Then they better deny there's creatures. The men and women that say that, and they're full of them out there in Tucson and all around the country, they had better tell the people you're not creatures anymore. What do you take to the creatures? End time evangelism. What's end time evangelism? The last day message. Nothing else has life, it's proven. We saw that last night in discernment. Read you right out of the scripture in two different places. Now, these signs shall follow every one of them that believe. And she denies every bit of it. So you can see right here that the churches that forfeited divine healing in the first place haven't got a clue about any of this, and the poor Pentecostals are not far behind, as we can read here as we go along. Now notice what it says here. She in verse paragraph 114. She denies all, as explains it away. She denies all the supernatural as she swapped it for Satan's intellectual conception of the Bible, where priests and holy fathers, so-called, where bishops, archbishops, where district presbyters, general overseers, and so forth, have put their own interpretation to it. Now, that's the secret that Satan got into. He said, hey, little girl, let's you and me talk and figure this thing out. God says, shut. As the prophet said, not one of you got a thing coming. Let every mouth be dumb and silent. But Satan started the ball rolling by, let's get together and have a conference. Two people got together and formed a miniature assembly of death. Amen. Organized. What do you got today? Death. Come on. The only, now, he said here, and God has let them sit there dead as 12 o'clock. That's midnight. The only thing that's left in the last days is a bunch of little Pentecost, a bunch of music whooped up as hard as they can, running up and down the floor, speaking in tongues, shouting, having a form of godliness, but denying the word thereof. Now, the Bible distinctly says power, which is dunamis. Better get me a six-hour tape. I'm tired of this. 45 minutes done. Don't even get off the ground. All right, listen. Denying the word thereof. Now listen. They believe in divine healing by shouting and cavorting and having their own understanding. Now listen. Brother Branham said, there is no such thing as a true healing revival, which is a vindication revival, outside of a true new message. So they're doing their dead level best to think they have the office of a prophet, vindicating themselves by a few little gifts, anointing of the Holy Ghost, the same thing Judas had. And Judas was the mouthpiece and the tabernacle of Satan. Well, you do what you want about it. This is so simple, really, that it boggles the mind completely. How in the world could those nice people? I understand. Have you ever seen a nice little old lady? Sweet as can be, fall on a banana peel and bust her hip? How could the sweet little lady fall and break her hip? But she did it. Oh, these things shouldn't happen to nice sweet ladies. My sister's stupid. She's way older than I am. I think she's about 81. She thinks she can climb on things and not fall down, but she proved different. She broke her hip. And she went downtown. She says, fragile condition of a revolving door kind of swept around. She broke the other hip. Now, how could it happen to my sweet little sister? See, that's a stupid question, isn't it? It didn't happen. See, it happened here in the Bible. Nobody said that anybody got in seclusion with Satan and said, now, hey, I'm going to work this thing out together and this will be the satanic plan. First off, there is no God but me. That's why he's called the God of forces. And that's why the moving picture show, The Force Be With You. Speaking true. And he had to eat food. He's got the church food. Because Eve never approached him and said, hey, have you got any ideas? He right appealed to her reason. And instantly, when his word, by his spirit, which was in the perverted word, anointed her mind, she saw what wasn't there. The tree was harmless. Oh, so is homosexuality. Yeah. It's just one of those things in nature. I go to a lot of bookstores and I pick up a lot of books. I picked up that one. And I read the first few pages. And I said, well, they got it coming to him. The guy that wrote it didn't know, but he had it coming to him. I suppose he's dead by age now. And the funny thing is all the movie stars and all the bunch, you know, that's out there with the artsy gang. What are they? Avant-garde? You know? The Bell Society? Yeah? The famous ones, the beautiful ones. Rock Hudson didn't look so beautiful, did he? Now look at him. Remember Liberace? Lying scuzzbud went to court and perjured himself. And the guy that said he was a homo, I think, had to pay him $4 million. If I was that guy living, I'd go to his estate and take it for every cent they had. Because that's a criminal offense. It never goes off the books. Don't tell me. I know what I'm talking about. I've talked to lawyers and judges. Denying the word, the message. I can prove that by 2 Timothy. I'll get to it. Tell them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They laugh in your face. God goes right on making it so just the same, proving his word to be so. Now he's talking about vindication. All right, I'm going to read the whole paragraph. Notice the tree that Satan caused Eve to partake of was the tree of good and evil. It was a mixed tree. Now look at the day we're living in. When he's calling out a bride, he's got a church that claims to be doing good when it's evil by denying the word. That's exactly right. A mixed, because that's what Eve did. Won't be any different. Only on a grander scale. Right. The man started with a pair of lovely little bunnies. Within a few weeks, he had 8 little bunnies. And in a few weeks more, he had 30 bunnies. Doesn't take Satan any longer. He's got his bunny rabbits everywhere. You know, they're the kind that don't chew the cud. They can't take that word and digest it. Keep going round and round, you know. Getting all the nourishment out. Can't store it up and then live on it. Like the camel lives on stored water. The cow lives on the cud, you know. But they don't have a hoof. So here they do. They imitate Christians. That word, round and round. The word they gets worse and worse. Ours get better and better. And we've got the cloven hoof, so to speak. We line with those that are the true meat of God. Oh, the mixed tree. Oh, they say they have great societies. They help this and the Red Cross endorse it. All the schools. Looky here. Oh, but deny one word. That's all you have to do to die, no matter how intellectual, how good it is. Jesus said a little leaven leavens the whole lump. One spot of leaven ruins the whole lump. One word of God displaced spoils the whole picture. What about my arm being where my foot should be? See? It's crippled. It's gone. What if my ear was down here, my hand should be? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. All right, now, Brother Branham, and I like what he said here because he says it so beautifully. He said it was a mixed tree. Now, that mixed tree is back here in Genesis where Eve partook of the fruit. And then notice where that goes to in Genesis 6 and 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, the Bible also says that when people are in that respect, they will do what is in their hearts. It's allowed them to do. Because, you see, God said to Adam, he said, now, come on, take over. Now, if God told Adam to take over, and Satan takes over him, which he did, what's going to happen? Not God's will. It's going to be the devil's will. Now, he started back there. Now, in the flood, man was doing continually what came into his mind until Brother Branham told us by revelation that God did not send the flood. He merely told them the flood was going to come and their atomic bombs and atomic energy brought it on, and he intimated the same thing for this hour. And you can tell it's true. God doesn't have to wipe anybody out. They're going to wipe themselves out. As in the days of Noah, when they're stagnating and dying in their own filth like they're doing in AIDS, he's just going to finish them all off out of pity. He's not going to prolong it. There's no reason to. The righteous are gone. The foolish virgin are gone. There's nothing but serpent seed. So he's not going to let them just die in their own ooze. Pus oozing from their bodies. They haven't told you half the truth about AIDS. Don't worry, they're trying to play it down because everybody's scared. You better read the cutting edge in some of those articles I get hold of. Now, he said, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, let's go back to the knowledge of good and evil and just see what the Apostle Paul said it was. And I think we can find that over here in 1 Timothy. Now, we understand Paul by Brother Branham. So, 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, beginning at verse 11. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. All subjection to what? What they have learned from Paul. Eve did not do that. She wasn't about to. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now, Eve got authority over Adam by the perverted word. So the church gets authority over the mass by the perverted word. Now watch. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Eve was not in the original. She was after. Now listen. Adam was not deceived. But the woman being deceived was in the transgression, notwithstanding she'll be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and sobriety and holiness, or charity and holiness with sobriety. What in the world has childbearing got to do with apples? It has nothing to do with anything but sex. Whether she gets it by implantation through a test tube or anything else, it is still sex. So therefore, this woman positively destroyed her standing, which was her chastity, her sobriety, her faith, her holiness, by losing her virginity. Now, what did Paul say the virginity was? The right Jesus, the right Spirit, the right Word.
Amen.
And all she did was leave that right Word. Immediately, she was anointed by the Spirit, in another word, and she walked right off from God. That's right. You can say what you want. But she certainly did. God had been bringing her time. Now, you can see then what that mixed tree did. The mixed tree was the ability, according to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, to bring forth a child of Satan. Now remember, let's get this flat. There is no child of God born outside of Jesus Christ without sex, except the first creation, Adam and Eve. So what I'm telling you is this. There is no such thing as an identification of God or the devil outside of some material figure. Now, since God identifies with man in the material figure, and Satan has claimed that he is going to attract worship to himself and supersede God, then he is going to take over the human race, or he is a failure. Now, the Bible says he does it. Now, you can do what you want about it. Now, here's what it says here. In 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and beginning, you could read, I don't want to go back to verse 3, it's too much. Let's go down here to what? Now, it says in verse 11, this is a message you heard in the beginning, that we should love one another, and love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Now, not as Cain was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Now, positively, this bird Cain was of the wicked one. Now, remember, the Bible says that Cain was a murderer, the devil's a murderer, and he is a liar. I'm going to tell you something. The devil never told a lie. The devil never murdered. The devil didn't do anything. Because he can't unless he gets in possession of something to do it. But when he gets in possession of something to do it, then it is not the one that's possessed. It is the possessor that is doing it. Because there's got to be identification. As Brother Branham said, if you didn't have representation back there, you don't have identification now. Representation. You shot it. So now Satan comes along, and because he takes the beast that can cross with a human being, this beast impregnates Eve and brings forth this son, which is Cain. Now, you know it's got to be serpent seed, because Abel never acted that way. Seth never acted that way. There is no evidence of anybody in the true human race acting that way. It says right here, the true Son of God does not act like Cain. And the unrighteous act that Cain did, you know jolly well, was not killing his brother. The unrighteous act led to him killing his brother. The unrighteous act was the misdivided word and attempting to worship God. And God says, out. Nice, I'm going to tell you something, boy. If you really want to get to me, you get that word divided right. Oh, he was mad. Now, he couldn't pull God down out of heaven and club him to death. So he took the first true son of Adam and Eve and killed him. Because Adam was a son of God, and Eve came out of him, so therefore what came out of those two had to be generically and genetically sons of God. Otherwise, horses don't bring horses, and cows don't bring cows, and pigs don't bring pigs. Forget it. I may be dumb, ignorant, but I ain't stupid. All right. Let's go down to verse 14. We know we passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And who's your brother? Brother Branham told you, the one that believes the same word that you do. He doesn't believe part of it, he believes all of it. That's what I said right here. All the troubles we ever had in this church is based on one thing. The whole bunch never got to the basic word of Almighty God, or we'd have the very things we're asking for. So let's not kid ourselves. Now, that's a tough statement, I keep telling you. But I'm not going to pull my punches because I stand just as guilty as anybody. If I'm not part and parcel, it just means I'm like my body. My immune system's acting against itself. Come on, brother, sister, let's not be stupid. The Bible speaks of the body of Christ as a human body. And everything in it is typed back to this word. The blood, everything. All right, let's go a little further. He said here, these are your brethren, those are not. And he that loveth not his brother abides in death. Now he's talking of the physical here, because Cain was a brother of Abel. He was a twin, but of another source. So right here, what are you having a picture of? It tells you here, whosoever hated his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. See? And it also says in verse 13, marvel not, my brother, if the world hateth you. So who was Cain? He was of the world. So everything of Satan is of the world. Why? Because he's taking the literal cosmos and messing with it. You can't take the literal cosmos and mess with it and work with it apart from the revealed word of Almighty God. Don't you see what I'm trying to tell you? It starts back there, and we've got a Chernobyl. 3 Mile in Pennsylvania. A Zimmer. You don't know what's going on. Talk to Don Hockenberry. He'll tell you. All those stupid engineers had little clips of metal holding up a great big cement, iron reinforced vent with tons of water. And a painter painting down there saw these clips bending. Engineers! I could say something right now so cutting you'd all be embarrassed. I'm going to say it. I'll say something like that and you wonder about it. I just let you know. Hey, look, I know a whole lot more things than I preach. Not time to say a lot of things. One word off is death. It's exactly what it says. We know we pass in death and life because we love the brother. One word off is death. What's that one word off? A brother's not a brother when he takes away the word. I guess I don't have love the way people want me to have love. But I cannot express myself in terms that they would express themselves, knowing they got murder in their heart to murder the Lord Jesus Christ himself, making him a doctrine. That's what the church has done. They made their own doctrine and said, now that's the one you worship. That's what they did in the Exodus. They got Paul Aaron upset. He didn't know which way to turn. So he made them gods out of gold. There's your gods. Follow them. Moses came back and thousands were killed. And he took those idols and destroyed them. That's a picture of what Christ is going to do shortly. Because of the revealed word under a prophet. Come on, he's come to judge. And his judgments are swift and they'll surely come to pass. All right. This age ends in complete serpent seed. If you don't think so, read 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter. I'm not going to have time with it. Verses 1 to 12. It tells you they're absolutely serpents, brute beasts, and so on. Now, I'm going to talk about this mixed tree. Let's go back here to the mixed tree in Matthew, the 12th chapter, and it's 7th chapter, beg your pardon, and it's absolutely talking about prophets. And it says those same are prophets at the end time. They are false, they are off the word, but they got signs and wonders. Because in Matthew 24, Jesus said, I told you about these birds before, and here they are. Beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Now it tells you they have completely masked their missionary endeavor, the same as Satan did. And he came and he said, listen, he said, I want to tell you something. I'll embarrass you. But he said, listen, he said, you're off on the word. Now, he said, hey, it's not that way at all. So he gave her an esoterical meaning of some description. See? He fooled her completely. On the surface, he was one with her. So is a false prophet until he gets you. Then he takes you right to his den and destroy you because he's a wolf. You'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns and figs of thistles? He's talking about animals. Now he's gone to bushes, vines, trees. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Either make the tree that, either every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast in the fire. And by their fruits you know them. Now, as a peculiar thing in here, he is talking about a mixed situation, a prophet that is of the devil, acting, manners, everything about him, as though he were truly a great person of God. Now, he likened this and said, hey, I want you to notice something. That tree, looking at it, cannot bring forth grapes because it's a fig tree. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. He's telling you, bringing forth is harvest. You say, hey, I can tell that's a fig tree. Uh-uh. Looks like a fig tree. Won't bring forth figs. It's going to bring forth briars. When? At harvest. See? This bunch that started there, Jesus tells about, goes right to Matthew 24, right down into Revelation, the opening of the seals, the time of the appearing, the tree of life in here, nods good and evil, two spirits, son of man, son of perdition, right there. And he said, hey, raise your edge difference. And you're going to say, ha! That! It's a fig tree. Huh? It's a briar. See? Only at the end time do people know. Because he says here, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, enter the kingdom of heaven, does the will of my Father. Many will say, Lord, Lord, prophesy in your name, cast the devils. He said, I never knew him. Now, you know why he doesn't know them? They don't have a wedding garment on. They're not identified. Brother Branham, they said amongst us in the message, they have the wedding garment because they cannot accept the message. They're kind of around to see if it'll really work out because this is quite phenomenal. You know, brother, sister, it'd be nice if it were that way. But something in my gut tells me it ain't that way. I'm loaded. Either to take off or go down. Now listen to me. A good, evil tree doesn't exist. Only in your thinking and what you want to make it and make of it or it make of you. A mixed tree. It would have to be grafted. Right? Then it would bring forth whatever fruit is grafted by the life. And that's being done now. Now listen to me. Make the tree good or make it evil. Revelation chapter 3. I would you were cold or hot, but lukewarm. No! Good, bad tree. Now this morning, I want you to make your decision like men and women. I know you can't believe any more than I can believe, any harder than I can believe. We can't twist ourselves, brother, sister. There's something in here that I wish we were the masters. It isn't possible. This thing in here goes all down through here. They call it the solar plexus mind as well as here. You can't change it. You got to feed it. Now make up your mind this morning. Are you hot or cold? Are you in or are you out? Don't pretend, because the greater wrath of God is on the lukewarm. He vomits you right out. You haven't got one thing even to say about the word. That's exactly why the cold, fundamental, deadly organizations take their stand right against God. The hot ones. We get out of here. We create enough actual heat and steam to move us up, like the thermal currents. This word will take us out of here, the same pillar of fire. Those other ice cold ones that think they're so hot for God have taken all that lukewarm bunch that God hates. There's nothing left at the end time. See, it's all gone. You cannot fool with this. There's no way. All right, listen. We go to the next paragraph. Say, how do you know it's right? God proves it. He vindicates it. Now, there again, you have those that say, well, we're vindicated. After all, God spoke to me. He said it here in the Word, then He proved it. That's Deuteronomy 18. And in the Scripture that Brother Branham uses. That's how we know it's right or not. Just deny one word is all it takes to die. It brought the same results in this evil age, spiritual death, as it did physical death to the whole human race. Now watch that. This last day message does not bring physical death. It brings spiritual death. White throne. You don't have to look if you're going to be cast in the lake of fire. You're already in it. If everything about God's in the dimension, the lake of fire is in the dimension. I'm not playing with words and being foolish, trying to prove a point. It's true. Everything's in a dimension. Speed of vibration, it's all different. Anybody can tell. Psychology tells us, science tells you, physicians tell you. There's nobody that doesn't tell you. Electricians tell you, anybody will tell you. Levels of vibration or sound going through your body right now, you haven't got a clue. Tell you what you do. Take a hold of the antenna of a radio that won't work. It'll work right now. You're a conductor. What are those waves doing to you? Under a high power line, kids get leukemia. Fluorescent lights cause all manner of problems. The very refrigerator you like and I like is causing us problems. Everything is against us today. There's only one thing for us, and that's God. And His vibration can overcome every vibration. You know what I'm saying there? God proves it right. It's a proven word we have. Notice how Satan got that scientific age back there of Noah's to lean on their own understanding. The Bible says in Proverbs, don't lean on your own understanding. Let every man's word be a lie that God did true. But Satan, by his knowledge from the beginning at the Garden of Eden, he got the people to lean upon their own understanding. That's what he did. And you know, through his great Max Factor works that he had back there, he got women so fair that it caused sons of God to fall into sin and marry them right. Women so fair and pretty. That's what the Bible said. When the sons of God looked upon the daughters of men, they saw they were beautiful. That's the women made themselves beautiful. That was the Max Factor back there, and that's Hollywood. Women beautified themselves what for? Well, the world's going to try to tell you women make themselves pretty for other women. Well, it might be true to a degree with their pride. But don't worry. There's somebody lurking around the corner. We're going to pray. We have a baptismal service. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your goodness to us, Lord. Knowing that these things are so true, we have been repetitive, but we know that repetition doesn't hurt us because it's so important. Because we know this is where the whole world is failing. Right now, being caught in the snare of the devil. And if there's anything important to know, it's about the snare of the devil, because that's where Eve, a perfectly innocent, lovely person, was completely deluded by the life in a terrible word, deceived her, anointed her spirit, and she saw things that weren't there, believed things that were untrue, and walked right into death. Then came out talking about the things of God as though she had some kind of a corner on it, even saying concerning Cain, I've gotten me a man from the Lord. Church still does the same thing. People would sooner believe that Eve had spoken, Lord, by your Holy Spirit speaking through her, saying, hey, I've gotten this man. This is true. This is the Son of God. She lied in the teeth of every person that's ever been born. We know Satan's a liar from the beginning. He taught Eve very well. And the church is a liar. We know that. They taught the people very well, having been taught by the enemy. Help us, Lord, to get away from the devil's lie. One word off, one word on. To be one with that word and believe it. Lord, you never told us to produce it. You just told us to believe it. Had he believed it, she wouldn't have produced anything else but it. So help us, Lord, to believe and see the production of your word come true. God, help us in the place of quandary, which we know we're in many, many times. But there's got to be a complete sellout to it, which, you know, far as we know, Lord, we have sold out. But there's a yearning, Lord, for the word to completely take over. Perhaps it's our imagination. Yes, Lord, then forgive us and help us to just go right on until the word liberates us, not through death, although that's very fine, but through immortality. Now, the grace of God be with each one of the people here, Lord. May they all have the health that Brother Branham spoke of, but especially the spiritual health. Trees planted by the rivers of water of God, standing in the last day, bringing forth fruit, recognizable as fruit unto you, fruit of the word. Unto you we give the praise in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have one baptism today. We have Joanne Hand. She's a Canadian, but she didn't know that that name she has is a very famous American name, Dr. Learned Hand, one of the greatest jurisprudence doctors in the world, a doctor of jurisprudence, a great judge, famed and known around the world. So we have a very famous name today. And a very lovely girl dedicating her life to the Lord that she might be baptized in water. So how about whoever cares to come with her, and you can come right up here now and get ready for baptism. Brother Bill, you're around here to baptize Sister Joanne. And I think the tank is filled up. Good, is it? We got that done. You can go right through there, and there's a little dressing room right behind. That's it there. Go to your left and then to your right. You'll find a little dressing room. Snap the light on. All right, that's fine. I didn't mean to take so much time this morning, but I kind of forgot where we're at in the matter of time. All right. Now, this will be on tape. We got a separate tape on this, Gene? You got one handy? We better put this on and give it to her. She can play it. I think you got a cassette player, haven't you? You can use good. Get everything on it. We don't need this on another tape of ours to send out or anything. We just get it on video.